Please be advised that this podcast contains descriptions of Mixit-enabled cell phones, polyphonic ringtones, and also the pejorative use of the term nerd. Violence, armed robbery, assault, hijacking, all words too common in the South African lexicon. So much so that they cast the spotlight away from indiscretions that go unnoticed, lurking in the shadows of society's most pestilent underworld. I want to meet the forgotten victims of heinous acts of inconvenience. Join me, a professional amateur sleuth, as we try to solve the cases that plague ordinary hardworking people and also trust fund beneficiaries. And maybe we can close this chapter of trauma on their lives. My name is Phil DeLange, and this is Petty Crime South Africa. With this groundbreaking podcast on its ninth episode, I have you to thank for helping us reach 3,000 downloads and listens. In doing so, you have performed an act of service to the community by helping to cast the spotlight onto the crimes that really don't matter. On this episode, we open up the case files of one victim who has been to the Petty Crime Help Desk before.
Each cell phone was a different sister's phone that was stolen.
This is Saeed, a young man who is still desperately looking for his stolen cactus named Agnes, a crime you can listen to on episode 2. He introduced me to a curious incident involving a dodgy family member and two cell phones. In order to provide proper context for the story, we need to change our language a little bit. At the time of the incident, around 2007, they were referred to as cellular telephones. 16 years ago, it was reported that 6,831 cellular telephones were stolen in South Africa, about 1.8% of items considered smaller items that were nicked. Curiously, there were more landline phones stolen at the time. My theory is that all landlines were stolen by Caucasians because they saw the word land in the description. Saeed's incident is much closer to home, however, as his family was robbed before and after a holy pilgrimage, and it seems to have been an inside job.
So when my parents went to Makkah. You know, like usually when you are about to leave, you have like people come visit. They sit around. They give you advice on like the journey, and this is what you need to do. This is what you must remember. Those kinds of things. So you always have a lot of people in your house when somebody goes on Hajj. And I remember there being like so many family members that to this day I don't know their names and things like that. And then there were people, you know, that you only ever see when there's like either a funeral or something. And the person that stole this guy was one of those people that you only ever see if somebody has already died. So we saw this guy, I didn't know who he was and stuff. And then the first time when my mom and them left, like the day after they left, I think it was the next day, one of my sister's cell phones was missing. And we didn't know where it could have, we didn't know like who would have taken it, because I mean, it's only supposed to be like family, you know, that comes to these kinds of things. I think she had left the phone like on a shelf in the kitchen or something, because you don't need your phone on the day because everybody you know is at your house. So you don't like need anything. Well, I think the night after everybody left, when the house was empty, she went to go look for it and it was gone. And then we had asked people, had anybody seen it? And then somebody had made a comment, I think, that like they had seen somebody with a new phone. Like a family member had made a comment that they had seen another person that they knew who had like a new phone with them that they hadn't had before. And they were like, okay, you can't really go into like something and make like an accusation and be like, yo, you took the phone. And then my mom and them, when they came home, there was another phone that my other sister had, and that also had left. I'm not sure if it was left on the same shelf, because I think that would have sort of been like that was on a platter for that dude, but I think it was somewhere in the house. And again, a phone went missing when they came. So it was like when my mom them left, somebody stole a phone. When they came back, somebody stole a phone. The theory in the family, I guess, is that it was the same person, because there, again, there was another comment again afterwards of, oh, they were seen with another phone this time. And yeah, so that was another phone that went missing. And then I think he sold the phones or something to buy stuff for like World of Warcraft or something, if I'm not mistaken. That's just my understanding of it, because I think that the person was a big time Warcraft player.
What time frame are we looking at between the first phone being stolen and the second phone being stolen?
I think like maximum, like, I can't remember how long my parents were gone when they left, but it would have been like maybe 2 weeks to 3 weeks-ish.
And you say the suspect, he was never actually seen with two different phones. Were other people seen with a new phone?
Other people had commented that he had a new phone, and then when the thing came, when we put out the feelers as to who could have had the phone, there was like, I think more than one person that said it was probably him, because he wouldn't have, like, he had phones that, I think, this is all going based off things that other people have said, so obviously, you know, I can't make a proper accusation, but my full theory that I'm gonna believe until I die is that he stole both phones so that he could buy things on World of Warcraft. Because honestly, the only thing I know about this guy, I don't even remember his name, but I do know that he was addicted to World of Warcraft. And yeah, that's all I'm gonna say. I think you can draw that conclusion yourself.
Just as I suspected, someone who would go to any lengths to equip their fictitious character with fictitious equipment to impress other fictitious character-controlling people. This knowledge had sparked a theory that could take us deep into a rabbit hole of money laundering. But I needed more information about this so-called online video game called World of Warcraft. How does it work, World of Warcraft? How would you need to sell a cell phone to buy things on World of Warcraft?
I think this is all going off things that I've believed since I was like 14 or something. So it's probably going to be ridiculous. But my understanding was you would get the phones and then just sell it to people. Like, I don't know if you would sell the phones on the street, or you would go to like a store, like a secondhand store. This was way before Facebook Marketplace, so you couldn't get away with selling sketchy stuff so easily. And then you would sell it, and then you would use that money to put on a credit card so that you could buy, like, I don't know what nerds spend money on, like skins or like a sword or something, or I don't know. That was just my understanding, because I think like that was a game that people would sink a lot of time and money into. And I don't know if you were somebody who had a lot of money to spend necessarily. That's just what I've believed. And I could be wrong, and I could have been like harboring like intense hatred for an innocent man who just was just playing World of Warcraft this whole time and didn't do anything. But that's my full belief, is that it was him.
In the World of Warcraft universe, users can create avatars and equip them with items to improve character traits like strength, health, and making other people believe you are not a virgin. These items cost real money. In 2007, a user named Zuzo sold their level 70 Night Elf Rogue for $9,500, around 180,000 South African rand. You will notice I said the sale took place in 2007, the same year that the cellular telephones in Saeed's case were stolen. Since it was the same year, we can safely assume that the cellular telephone thief was probably involved in an elaborate scheme to use income generated from the theft to buy online items and then later sell said online items for more money. It would seem that I had just uncovered the most sophisticated money laundering racket in history. But what about the actual phones, you ask? Were they traceable? Were they ever found? Did you ever try and trace the phones that went missing?
Oh, no, these were like, I don't even know if you could track these phones. It was like an old Motorola flip phone, and then the other one was like a Motorola slide, like a Samsung phone that like slid up. I don't know if tracking was a thing that time. Because this was like a long time ago. This was, I think like, I would say maybe 2007-ish.
Are we talking polyphonic ringtone or monophonic ringtone here?
Definitely polyphonic. I think might even have been the time when you could have like a 3-second MP3, if I'm not mistaken.
Do you remember what songs were the polyphonic ringtones on either of the cell phones?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was on this exact phone, but I know at one point my sister had Chocolate by Kylie Minogue as a ringtone that she had to pay for. You know, when you had to spend real money for beeps.
We now once again call on your help, dear listener. If you happen to know someone who plays World of Warcraft and appears to have run into a lot of money, please entice them by asking them what level of mage they have. If they seem excited to answer you, please report them to me. Please also look out for anyone that could be using a Motorola Razr cellular telephone with the polyphonic ringtone of Kylie Minogue's Chocolate. If you or someone you know has been a victim of petty crime that might lead to me exposing an underground network of video game money laundering, set all of your World of Warcraft merchandise and computer on fire to create smoke signals for me to see. Petty Crime South Africa is an All Ears FM production. Written, recorded, investigated, edited, narrated, and marketed by Phil DeLange. Special thanks to Saeed Masood, who is also part of the Coffee and Controllers podcast, available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. This episode was double-checked by Phil DeLange, re-edited by Phil DeLange, and then uploaded by me, Phil DeLange. Petty Crime South Africa. Real people, petty crimes.